Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Lee Hardman, currency analyst at MUFG. It's Monday, 20th July 2020, and we're publishing this podcast on MUFGEMEA.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. So, Lee, how is the global economy responding to the COVID shock?
Well, we saw over the past week more evidence that China's economy is leading the recovery from COVID-19. The latest GDP data from China showed that the economy bounced back by 11.5% in the second quarter, which more than fully reversed the 10% drop that we saw in the first quarter. And that takes the level of GDP back above the high from the end of last year. So I think even compared to a couple of months ago, that's a much stronger than expected bounce back for China's economy than many people had been expecting. And so far, that's kind of been mainly driven by the industrial and construction sectors of the economy, while the service sector has been lagging. And that was evident as well with the retail sales growth coming in a little bit softer than expected. On the second point as well, we'd also highlight that if you look at the monthly data for June, that did show further acceleration in growth. So that is an encouraging signal as well that this upward momentum in China is likely to continue into the third quarter. And we think ultimately that at the moment that is proving supportive for those China-related currencies such as commodity and emerging market currencies. The second kind of key feature we've seen for the global economy is that the US economy as well looks like it is also bouncing back strongly from the COVID disruption. We saw last week retail sales again rebounded strongly for the second consecutive month. And that now leaves the level of retail sales actually up about 0.6% compared to their levels before COVID-19 shock hit the economy, which just highlights really how resilient the US consumer has been so far to the COVID shock. Admittedly, though, I suppose there are still, I think, legitimate concerns that this resilience may not continue in the coming months. Obviously, we have seen fresh outbreaks of COVID-19 spreading across states in the US, and we've seen those states reimpose restrictions on behavior. And at the same time as well, we also have seen some of the kind of high frequency data also pointing towards evidence that activity is starting to slow again in the state. So perhaps people as well are kind of fearing the virus more and also altering their behavior in a more cautious pattern. And that could put a dampener on the kind of recovery momentum. Obviously, so far it's been fairly strong, but there is risks to the downside going forward. We'd also add as well that's obviously one of the kind of key reasons why the economy has bounced back strongly in recent months has been the fiscal stimulus which the government put in place in the US. And we're now kind of reaching a crucial point now where some of that stimulus is due to roll off. We've got the enhanced unemployment benefits that those are due to expire at the end of the month. And if those aren't rolled over, then that as well is a potential downside risk for the recovery going forward. But putting that all together, though, obviously, as we said, the US economy is bouncing back more strongly than other major economies. But that hasn't really so far led to a stronger dollar. In the FX market, the main trend is still that the dollar has been weakening over the last couple of months, alongside the ongoing improvement in global investor sentiment. So that kind of risk-on, risk-off trading is still continuing to dominate. And then finally, we'd also highlight as well the performance of the UK economy, which to us is kind of standing out in a bad way. If you look at the latest data last week, we saw in terms of the performance of monthly GDP data from the UK, that showed that the UK economy did start to pick up in May, but it only rebounded very modestly by 1.8%. And that still leaves the actual level of GDP in the UK down by around 25% below levels from the start of this year. So there's obviously been an unprecedented negative shock to the UK economy. And the economy, even though the recovery is starting, it's really fairly kind of lagging in that process compared to other major economies. And to us, that's obviously one of the reasons why we think that the pound should continue to underperform in the near term. In our latest weekly report, we recommended a long euro sterling position.
And what's in focus for FX markets at the start of this week, Lee?
Well, at the start of this week, we've seen the euro trading on a stronger footing. That's mainly been driven by fresh optimism that EU leaders are moving closer to an agreement on the EU recovery fund. That does follow four kind of bruising days of talks to try to reach an agreement. So far, that's not been finalised, but the reports are suggesting that they are moving closer to a compromise deal. The so-called frugal four countries of the Netherlands, Austria, Denmark and Sweden, reportedly they are satisfied with providing grants of up to 390 billion euros under that recovery fund. And that does move them closer to the demands of the other major countries such as France, Germany, Spain and Italy, who are looking to provide grants of up to 400 billion. So it looks like they're getting quite close to a deal there. And I think for markets, that's obviously well anticipated. The euro has been one of the better performing currencies in recent months. And that does reflect building optimism that we will get an agreement on the recovery fund and that is making market participants more confident in the recovery prospects for the Eurozone economy and Eurozone assets going forward. And that's kind of been one of our key assumptions why we are still bullish on the outlook for the euro going forward. In contrast, though, there's also been reports over the weekend that the latest Brexit developments have gone in an unfavorable direction that has kind of dampened optimism. That there could be a swift breakthrough in those Brexit trade negotiations in the week ahead. According to those reports, informal meetings that have been held recently between the UK and EU's chief negotiators have failed to make any progress. So that certainly is not an encouraging sign and certainly has dampened some of the optimism that we saw only last month after the telephone conference call between UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson and other EU leaders, whereby they did give off a more positive message that they were willing to compromise to reach a deal. But the kind of early indication so far in terms of actual kind of progress in negotiations still appears to be relatively limited. So I think expectations in the week ahead for the next round of trade talks are obviously likely to be fairly muted, not expecting any major breakthroughs in the trade talks this week. And obviously, as we all know, the time to reach a deal is fast running out after the talks this week. The next kind of scheduled round of talks is due by the end of the week of the 17th of August. So by that point, if a deal still hasn't been reached, then we are kind of certainly pushing things in terms of trying to reach a deal before the end of this year. And there is a possibility, obviously, if we do see little progress in the coming month, then markets may start to see this as more of a potential downside risk for the pound going forward. Like the one thing we would say, though, in terms of the kind of how the pound has performed over the past couple of months, it's clearly been one of the worst performers within the G10 space. Even when we did see kind of positive Brexit headlines last month, even those headlines really kind of failed to lift the pound. So I think right now Brexit is not really kind of a key driver for pound performance. But that's not to say it may not come back later next year as a kind of bigger downside risk for the pound. And what we think is ultimately that the pound is still the outlook is deteriorating right now. Not just the fact that the government's policy on COVID has been very incoherent. We've obviously had kind of the second worst COVID death rate by population in the world in the UK. And also the high frequency data, like I mentioned earlier, is also still pointing to a more subdued recovery for the UK economy. So right now it's difficult to see any kind of clear positives for the pound, which could reverse this period of underperformance. And think going forward as well, markets may also start to fear more potentially over the kind of negative fiscal implications for the UK from all of the fiscal spending that's been put in place. So overall, it's, I think, still a fairly negative fundamental position right now for the pound.
Okay, thanks very much for your insight, Lee. Have a good week and speak to you soon.
Great, thank you.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back next week for more insights from our Global Markets research team.